listening to the Melrose Place podcast, where we rewatch, recap, and analyze every episode of the hit 90s TV series Melrose Place.
It's your boy.
And your girl.
Let's get started. Hey gang, I'm Dan.
And I'm Jenny.
And if you're just now picking us up, welcome aboard.
Thanks for listening.
Yeah, thanks for jumping on this Melrose Place podcast train. We, as Jenny said, we watch Melrose Place and we recap that mofo.
And I can't blame you for picking it up in season two, because season one, a little slow. Season two is where we really get the drama.
Yeah. And then as far as the podcast goes, we were really just sinking our teeth in, didn't really know what we were doing at the very first few episodes. But now I think we got a good grasp.
Well, of what we keep telling ourselves that.
Yeah. we certainly have a format.
So we're in season two, episode 15, entitled Under the Mistletoe.
Air date, December 22nd, 1993, we're in full swing of the holiday season.
Yeah, it's good to get a little Christmas injection into the arm.
Yeah, we're recording this on the butt end of Thanksgiving. Hope you all in the States had a happy Thanksgiving, and if you don't live in the U.S., I hope you had a great Thursday.
So this is really ushering in our holiday season. And how does this ep start out, Dan?
Well, we're going to kick this bad boy off with a haunting sex montage between Amanda and Billy. And like the music, I say haunting because
it's scary.
I was a bit frightened. I was a bit frightened at the music. Yeah. It was like,
the music was so weird.
Yeah, and then Billy, like, so they're like doing it, montage, they're really passionate, and then Billy wakes up like he was blacked out. Like he was drugged.
Amanda's that good.
Yeah, maybe he hit his head when he opened the trash can.
And you pointed out, Dan, that sheet that was around Billy, like, it wasn't even around his waist. Sorry. It was like you could see that V formation thing happening. Like, we almost saw a little bit of Billy's junk in this shot.
Yeah, there was a almost sighting.
It's a little eye candy.
Say it if you didn't, because
I know you're always looking at characters' genitals at all times.
I'm Captain Private Watch.
You pointed it out to me, though, in watching of the episode. Yeah.
So Billy, you know, he wakes up. He's in Amanda's apartment. One, he shouldn't be there. Two, he's like, I got to get out of here real quick. So he puts on one shoe and then puts on a shirt, one shoe, and then like gathers up his clothing. And he's sort of chatting with Amanda like, hey, last night was something, huh?
And she's like, Billy, you don't have to be so neurotic. Look, I broke up with Jake and you trying to get back to Allison. It's only natural that we'd end up in bed together. And at that moment, there's a knock on the door.
Ding, ding, ding.
Amanda looks through the peephole, sees it's Allison, and directs Billy to hide kind of behind the door.
Does she? I feel like she's just like, yes, Allison's here. Let me just open this door and fuck it all
I guess you're right.
I thought she was just like, oh, sweet.
Yeah, maybe.
This is great.
Well, Allison is at the other side of the door, and Amanda invites her in.
Yeah, and Billy's like, what is this bitch trying to do to me? And he, like, hides behind the door with his stuff, and Allison asks Amanda if she can. She's, like, real behind. Me and Jenny both thought that she was going to say that she was real behind in work, but she's like, I'm super behind on my Christmas shopping. Can I have the day off?
What is up with that?
Yeah, what world is this appropriate?
Why would you ever go to your boss and be like, look, I got to go out shopping, so can I just, you know, blow off today?
Let me get the day. And if, I mean, she's dressed as if she's going to work, too.
And it's not a good look, guys. Mm-mm.
No, uh-uh. She looks like a cross between a businesswoman and like a chick who works at one of those like corn dog stands.
Oh, yeah, that's a good comparison. The skirt is like this color block skirt that is just not working.
Hell no, wouldn't put that on a Barbie doll.
And then her jacket is like a fox hunter jacket.
Oh, man. So, of course, Amanda's like, yeah, sure, take the day.
Dan, she's like, oh, Allison, I don't have to tell you how important the Christmas party is. The higher-ups really look down on people that don't attend.
Mm.
So basically, she tells her that she can't take the day. And Allison goes into the apartment. Billy artfully, like, covertly
goes out
of the front door, and then he like sneaks down the stairs down to Jake's apartment.
It's like a frolicking troll.
What?
He's like curled over like like Krampus or something. Like he has like scoliosis. Yeah. And he's like
and he's like, trying to get back to Jake's apartment without being seen.
Yeah.
So he's trying to make himself small. You know?
Yes, but it's more like creepy. Like he's a Pied Piper, and he's like luring children.
Well, it works because Mickey comes and meets him at his front door before he can get in.
And she's like, "Hey, Matt, I'm sorry. I mean, Billy. Hey, Billy, I made you a
Christmas ornament,
and here's one for Jake too." And like, Billy is in his underwear, and he, like, looks over at Nikki, and he's like, oh, thanks, little girl. She's like, okay, bye-bye.
And did you notice the Deck the Halls Cheese Fest music here?
No, I didn't.
It was like, doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo. As he was going down the stairs. And I always have to wonder, is that the original music,
or
who knows? I just feel gypped so much.
Let's just pretend it was the Pink Panther music.
Oh, that would be more fitting. So Billy does get into Jake's apartment, and he plays it off that he's been there the whole time. He dresses so quickly at the front door.
With the ornaments.
Yeah, just in time for Jake to come out of his bedroom. And Billy's like, oh, I'm getting ready for work. And I'm just here. And of course, Jake's not buying it. He's like, where have you been, man? Allison's been calling, like, off the hook.
And Billy, for real, he could have said anything else except what he said.
He said, oh, I've been at a club all night where I met two twins and I ended up at their place. What? In what world would that happen?
In your motherfucking dreams, Billy. Seriously, bro. Twins? That's your lie?
Well, Jake is lapping it up. He's like, whoa, I want to do it. Like, that's awesome. Next time, you better invite me.
You could have said I was trapped in a bathroom closet, and I'd have believed that. You could have said literally anything. Oh, I was working. I was at work. I was doing a story. Whatever. I was at a video dating thing. Anything. But twins?
But Jake buys it. So Jake kind of is recapping, like, everything went to hell. Palmer got arrested and he's in jail now. And Amanda's still not listening to me. She's not buying it. And then...
Guys, we sort of like brushed over a major thing here. Billy just left the apartment of the girl who was dating his new roommate.
Yeah.
Like, Billy, you just had sex with your buddy.
The guy that took you in to his apartment after everything went to shit with Allison. And now you're already jumping into bed with the girl that he just broke up with last night.
Yeah, and then you can just easily just bullshit lie to his face. Damn.
That's cold.
Billy, you cold as ice. Like, how did you do that?
Billy really does not have any moral compass, so.
None.
He's kind of like, oh, I do what I feel, what feels good to me.
It's messed up. Very messed
up. Agreed. So there's a knock on the door. They see it's Allison. Billy hides, and Allison is like, look, I'm looking for Billy. Is he around? And Jake says, oh, no, he's not home yet, Allison. I know you've been calling off the hook. And she's like, well, my office is having a Christmas party tonight, and I'm wondering if you could please ask him to come on over and visit me at the party. I really need to talk to him.
And Allison, why are you trying? It's done. It's over. You told him you were going to be with Steve.
So she leaves, and then Jake looks at Billy, who's been there the whole time, and is like, hey, Billy, you get all that? And he's like, yeah, I did get that. I mean, she went up to Steve's ranch just to sleep with him, and now she expects me to take her back? She's got another thing coming.
And Jake's like, well, I don't think she did, buddy. She came back pretty early.
And give her a chance to explain. I mean, I had only wished that Amanda would have given me that courtesy, and you should allow her to kind of explain herself as to what happened.
Which, again, fuck it.
Taking advice from the guy who you just had sex with his girlfriend hours ago.
Yeah.
Cold.
It's just really terrible. Billy's the worst.
Okay, so next up we go to Matt's apartment, and
Matt and Nikki are eating a bowl of Chex.
They're eating some Chex. And we learn,
Matt's in like a college sweater that like I want.
What is
like
it?
An old school style, like just sweatshirt that says like the college name across the chest and then university like across the belly. That like old style.
You mean from the 90s?
Yeah. I want that. I want that.
I wonder if our alma mater sells that.
Frostburg State.
Woo! So D3 all the way.
Let's go. We're in the playoffs, baby.
So we learn that Matt has been trying to get in touch with Katya as Christmas is approaching. He has been trying to call Russia through an operator, and he learns that there might be a strike going on in Moscow, meaning that no one can get through on the phone lines.
Hello, operator. Yes, please call Russia.
Yeah, what? So
patch me through to Russia.
So it looks like Nikki is going to be with Matt over the Christmas holiday because who knows what's going on with Katya. Yeah.
And she wants a party.
Matt, can we please have a party?
This is so weird. Like, what little girl wants a Christmas party?
And I want to invite every neighbor in Melrose Place.
Yeah.
Okay, writers. Sounds like a really convenient way to get all of the characters together on the behest of a five-year-old.
Yeah, this is lazy writing. Sorry. And, like, a little girl would just want, like,
Malibu Barbie.
A tree and presents. Yeah. Like, I just want to wake up on Christmas morning and say Santa. No one's like, throw a party with mixed drinks.
So that's all she wants. She wants a party and she wants to see snow, but they compromise because they're in Southern California. And of course, snow is not prevalent
right.
in this area. So party it is, Christmas Eve.
Matt's like, why don't we just rent a video of...
We'll watch White Christmas.
We'll watch White Christmas. That'll be snow enough for you.
Yeah. So next scene, we're with Allison and Joe and they're shopping together. And Allison makes a comment that they're having to do all their Christmas shopping in one lunch hour. Because remember, Allison couldn't get the day off to go shopping. Mm-hmm. But okay, we've glossed over another big thing here. When did Joe and Allison patch things up over Steve?
Because no idea.
The last time they were together, Joe was like making threats. I'm going to tell Billy all about this. You are selfish. I can't believe that you lured me into dating Steve and now you want him for yourself.
Yeah, now they're just cool. Guys, if we're missing something here, let us know. But that I feel like that was never discussed.
No, they're totally girls again. And they're like, yeah. And actually, Allison is gabbing about everything that happened with her and Steve, saying that, yes, her and Billy did break up. she did go up to the ranch, but she didn't sleep with Steve. And now Billy's never going to forgive her. And it's like, you're divulging all of this to Joe, who has this weird history with Steve. And she really liked Steve and kind of like wanted to keep it open to say, oh, well, I'm not ready to sleep with him yet. But of course, Steve is like, well, you shoot me down, it's game over.
Yeah.
Going on to the next one.
Go hop in that car I bought you and get the fuck on. And Joe is in all black shopping. She's the only character.
No, because, you know, like, actually, out of all of the characters, I like Joe's fashion the best.
This was horrible fashion.
I don't agree. I totally disagree. Next to Allison.
Yeah.
We talked about her outfit earlier.
Yeah. But, I mean, I don't know.
Joe is, like, East Coast, really edgy, kind of hard. She wears a lot of the black because she is kind of like closed off and like. Yeah,
but this is like knit turtleneck sweater, long dress. She looked like a Quaker.
I like that look.
She looked like she was ready to churn butter, like all day.
I like the Amish look.
Yeah, she looked Amish. Yeah, that's what I meant to say. She looks like an Amish. But the thing, and Joe reminds us of the last Christmas episode, how she's like, this was the anniversary when I kissed Jake for the first time. And for the first time, I was like, oh, yeah, last Christmas.
And now it kind of gives you to a sense of time, like,
yeah,
oh,
all that was a year ago.
Yeah, we've known these characters for over a year.
Because
it's really hard to keep track of the Melrose Place universe.
Yeah. And when's it a week and when's it a day?
We don't know. It's really, really hard. Things move so quickly.
Yeah. I mean, Nikki's in college. It's crazy.
So next scene, we're at Jane's apartment. And Michael is kind of like directing Jane as to where she's going to be decorating. And he has a very strong opinion about not putting the Christmas tree in front of the television.
Yeah. And I feel like he's becoming a troll. He's very negative and just like, I'm half the man.
And who are you to tell Jane where she's going to put her Christmas tree? You're lucky that you're actually like staying at her apartment.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, they should call it a gimp tree. I can't reach any of those lights. Damn it, this is a lie. Everything, me pretending that I'm going to get out of this chair and me being with you here in this house, but I'm not really with you. And Jane shoots back with, this is about Robert, so stop it. Like, I told you what's going on with me and Robert is none of your business. And then...
great line coming up.
He says... this is about me being half a man. That's not a life. That's a joke.
He can't handle it. Michael cannot handle being in that chair.
And Jane does say, hey, your doctor said it's kind of up to you. You've got to work hard. And I wonder, is he even doing physical therapy?
Yeah, and he was just supposed to be there until he could get into the not hallway where dogs are barking.
And it's been weeks.
Yeah. Because, what? Like, he should just go to the other hospital now.
I mean, because he got in there before the Thanksgiving, right?
Yes.
Okay, it was before Thanksgiving, and now it's like seriously
now it's fucking Christmas.
Like December 23rd.
No, the IMDb says it's Christmas Eve at Melrose Place.
Well, yeah, it becomes Christmas Eve.
Yeah. There definitely should have been a spot open at the new spot.
You'd think.
But no, he's still there.
So next scene, we're off to the holiday office party where Billy shows up after all.
Party looks lame, guys.
Yeah.
This looks really weak.
You know, I guess maybe was it a 90s thing to have your holiday party at your place of business?
Yeah, why do they do that? Now you have an office party. Well, at least our company does. We go somewhere.
Yeah, I don't know a lot of people that actually have their holiday party at their place of business. It's usually at a restaurant or, you know, an activity like Dan's company takes them to Disneyland.
Yeah. I mean, that like having the office party at the office would make me like uncomfortable.
But maybe we're wrong about this and we're just spoiled little brats that
maybe
get like really cool office parties. But this one sucks. And Billy comes in And Amanda notices him first. And it's like, oh, Billy, I've been thinking about you all day. I'm so happy to see you. And
she's like, you were great last night. And remember all the shit she talked on him to Jake?
Oh, I remember.
About
I
how
know
he
you...
was never sure of himself?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah, so she says that they're going to keep it their little secret because they make it, it makes it that much more fun and exciting.
Right.
To like fly under the radar of everything. So Amanda leaves to go get some eggnog for the both of them.
Gross. Do you like eggnog?
I love it.
Fucking nasty.
Dan.
I can have, not in oh, alcohol and eggnog? Gross. I'm talking about like milk carton eggnog.
Yeah, with adding a little bit of rum to that?
Nah.
Yeah.
I could have like one glass of just regular eggnog and then I'm out.
I'm a fan. So
it's too thick.
Yeah, I like texture. Ugh. When I can chew my drinks, that's like...
Ew.
That's like where I want to be.
Ew, dude.
Boba tea's my jam. Okay, so...
So thick.
I thought you knew this about me.
I guess, I don't know.
Okay, so... Allison intercepts Billy and lets him know, look, I never slept with Steve. I looked at him and I realized I love you. I want us to get back together. I made a big mistake, Billy, and I'm so sorry. And
Billy's just like, hey, homie, it don't matter. It's a wrap.
It's too late.
Get the net, Allison. We broke up.
I don't even own Agon.
Yeah.
So he says, look, Allison, it's too late. You wanted to sleep with him. Even though you didn't, the intent was there. You didn't want me. And it's done. The answer is no. Which I'm like, okay, well, good for you, Billy, standing up for yourself. We usually don't see that side of him. And in this instance, I agree with him 100%.
Yeah, good for you, Billy. Way to stand up for yourself. Way to go. And now, like, what's Allison say? She's like, great, another Christmas up in smoke?
Something to that effect.
And Amanda is pumped. She's like, oh, sweet. And Allison snakes the eggnog.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Amanda went to get the eggnog for Billy, and Allison just grabs it out of Amanda's
hand.
She's
like, give me that nog. I need a swig. I'm back on the sauce. Oh, just one little sip. Hope. One little sip, and Allison goes right back on the off the wagon. Is it on the wagon or off?
Off. She's off the wagon.
All right. So now we're going to head over to Jane's apartment that she's sort of sharing with Michael. And Michael's in the kitchen. He's in the chair. They need to establish again that he really can't live by himself. So he like reaches up the fridge to grab either fruit or a vegetable. We're not really sure, but he grabs this bowl and it's like one of those commercials where they try to sell you like a made for TV, like wallet organizer or like a hair clip. And they show you like how it's so hard to close your wallet. And they're like, is your wallet doing this? And like everything falls out of your wallet. You know those commercials?
Oh, yeah, of course I do.
Yeah. Or like, having trouble finding the light switch, and it's like a hand like just hitting a
just
wall.
Just groping the wall like, ah!
Yeah.
They have to establish how difficult it is.
Well, so Michael like accidentally drops this bowl of fruit and vegetables that are kept together.
I think it's just fruit, Dan. You're thinking these things are potatoes, but they're pears.
Whatever it is, they're all bad. It's all going
rotten
bad.
Rotten fruit.
Yeah. Whatever it is spoiled rotten. So he's like, oh, geez, I can't even get the fruit.
They're trying to play this like he is some helpless person that can't do anything. There are plenty of people who are in wheelchairs that are totally self-sufficient and can live on their own and take care of themselves.
Not Dr. Mancini.
And it's been like, granted, okay, I'm sure right off the bat you sustained some kind of an injury that does confine you to a chair. It does take time to get to that point. But it's like, guys, last episode he was pretending like he was like a freaking quadriplegic. Like,
help.
He is really milking this.
He can't do anything by himself. To a
point where it's like crazy, in my opinion. So Jane comes in with a very sturdy, large woman who I would name Helga if I could, but her name is Colleen.
Yes, Nurse Colleen, played by Marianne Muriel. Marianne Mueller-Lee.
What?
Guys, her name is so hard. Marianne Mueller-Lee.
Mueller-Liel.
Mueller-Liel. Yes.
Mueller-Liel.
Mueller-Liel. Now, she's had a really great career. Like, really good.
Okay.
All right. She was in Parenthood, the TV series.
Love it.
She was a dog breeder. Okay. She was on The Middle.
Great show.
Big Love.
Watched every second.
Wizards of Waverly Place.
Never seen that shit.
Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Awesome Town.
Days of Our Lives.
I'm sure it's funny and good.
She was on Smoking Aces, Running with Scissors, Nip Tuck, Crossing Jordan. And she's most known for these films. Memento, Thank You for Smoking, Terminator, and Liar Liar.
Killing it, Marianne.
You're killing it with that hard-ass last name.
Mueller-Liel.
Yeah, so she's been around.
So basically, Jane has hired her to care for Michael because she's going to be spending Christmas with Robert. And she's not going to be around to tend to Michael's every need.
And she springs this on Michael.
Right, and of course, Michael is very disappointed to hear this.
Oh, what are you trying to do to me here, Jane, huh? You got this pro football player coming in here? No.
So Jane's not taking it, and she's like, I'm leaving. Peace out. Have fun with Colleen. Bye.
So he just looks at Colleen and is like, this goes without saying. You're fired.
I'll pay you triple. I don't care. You just go home. Don't you have a family? You want to be with your friends. You want to be with your kids. You don't want to be here. I'm still going to pay you. I'll pay you more. Get out of here.
Just get out of here and go.
But Colleen's tough.
Yeah, she's like, she said you'd say that. And it looks, you smell rotten. You need a bath.
I'm going to be here the whole time. And if that's what I think I smell, you need a bath.
And then he's like, help.
Yeah, that was really terrible.
It's like a fucking cartoon. It's like a cartoon.
Okay, so what are your thoughts on this next part then?
Hang on, I'm still on the bath. This is assault at this point. He, like, as a, let's break this down. As a grown man in a wheelchair, if you get a nurse hired by your ex-wife to take care of you.
And not by your consent.
Not by your consent. And you say, no, I do not want a bath.
And they're like, I'm giving you a bath.
And she gives you a bath. That is assault. You can call the police and have this woman arrested.
Dan, I'm with you. But you know what?
Huh.
This was 93.
Is okay? That cool in 93?
No, it never cool. Just different landscape. Different mores, different things that could slip through the cracks.
Yeah.
That today? Oh.
Colleen, you going to jail today.
Back in 93, it's like, oh, okay.
Yeah. All right, so what were you going to say?
I was going to say, following the cartoonish theme of this whole episode, we have Jake lounging on the stairs, almost like waiting for Amanda to come out of her apartment.
Yeah, and also illegal.
A little stalky stalk. And Amanda comes down the stairs and he's like, sure cold out here, huh? It's like, what are you doing, Jake?
Yeah, Jake, get the net. Like, we broke up.
Why are you doing this? And Amanda's like, get out of my way. If you think that I wasn't kidding about trying to get you kicked out of here, I wasn't. I'm going to go through every extent that I can to make sure that you cannot live here at Melrose Place. And Jake is like, look, the FBI made me do it, okay? I didn't have a choice. And she basically explains to him that, look, everybody has a choice, okay? You could have come to my family and given me a heads up as to what was going on, which I agree with her. I mean, we kind of, we know where we stand on this topic.
I guess, man.
I say the FBI can go to hell.
Yeah, you're Team Billy on that.
And she says, my father is ruined and so are we. And
she said, I should have listened to my dad when he said, don't get involved with the gold digging grease monkey.
Right. But not before he asks her, do you think he's innocent? And she says, yes. So
a bullshit.
So things are not going good with Jake and Amanda.
Here's the problem I have with this scene. Jake's a lot of things. He's never a gold digger. Jake hates money.
Doi, and we know that.
From the get-go, Jake didn't want a penny of Palmer's money. He didn't accept the job originally because he thought it was a handout for money. And Amanda is the one who forced Jake to take the job.
Well,
how is he a gold digger?
That may be the case. But under these dire circumstances, Palmer had to spin it some way to get Amanda on his side. And that's the route that he chose to take. And I think Amanda's probably so blindsided by the fact that her father is implicated in this horrible operation.
That she forgets that she ran into Jake's apartment and was like, why didn't you take the job from my daddy?
Yeah. And honestly, Amanda's pretty much like the worst thing that's ever happened to Jake.
Pretty much. Yeah, she burnt down his bike shop.
If she didn't burn down the bike shop, Joe and Jake would probably still be together.
Yeah. They'd probably have like 4 kids by now.
Oh, I hate Amanda.
Amanda, you suck. And I gotta say it, you don't mess with Jake.
So we're over to Shooters.
Shooters is hopping. I don't know what that was out front. Might have been a line. Might have just been a lot of people smoking, but
Dan, you could smoke inside.
I'm pretty sure
in
you
those
could
days.
Smoke indoors. Yeah. So it was a line to get in at Shooters, and it was bumping. Sid's waiting tables, and like, is Lauren a vampire? Because she just is places, and no one knows. Up.
So Sydney's waiting on Joe, and Joe kind of lets Sid know about the Christmas party for Nikki that Matt is throwing in the courtyard of Melrose Place.
Right.
And we hear off screen someone saying, waitress, waitress, get over here.
Mm-hmm.
And Sydney rushes over to the table where this voice is coming from, and that's where we see Lauren.
Yeah, Lauren reveals herself.
And if you guys don't remember who Lauren is, she is the Heidi Fleiss character
King
of the
pimp.
Story.
Queen yes. Pimp, hot shit.
Yeah.
And yeah, she's basically like, hey, Sid, I gotta, here's some more Coke, and I got a job for you.
Yeah, she just takes a vial of Coke and is like, here you go, just out in the open, like, got some drugs for you.
Yeah. Have some more drugs.
And this comes along with a date tonight. You're my number one girl in LA.
Yeah, Sydney really climbed the ranks quick. She's the top prostitute in Los Angeles.
Good for her. At least she's excelling at something.
How many guys do you think she's banged to get to the top?
More than a few.
Like, a lot.
More than a few. And
well, when was the last episode? Was that before Thanksgiving, you said?
Well,
you think?
I think maybe, no, last episode, I would say, is between Thanksgiving. But it's been a couple weeks.
Yeah. She probably did it to like 30, 40 guys. That's my impression.
Okay, so.
I mean, we're talking about the from bottom to the top. She had to be pulling
There's
doubles.
There's 20 other girls.
Yeah, she had to be pulling like doubles, triples. Really slinging it around. Like. Hot out the gate.
Okay, so Joe kind of sees part of this interaction, and we can tell that Joe is still very suspicious about what's going on in Sydney's world.
Mm-hmm. And how many... Okay, where was Sydney's friend, who's also a hooker and works at Shooters? Where'd she go? Gina Gershon.
We haven't seen her for a while. Ellen, that's
yeah.
her name.
She just came up.
She's got the day off, okay?
She quit because she had that hot watch. She's like, fuck it, I got this watch. I don't need to work anymore. I'm out.
Maybe.
Maybe.
Next up, we're back to Matt's apartment, and they have a package from Mommy. So Katya has sent them some Christmas gifts.
Yeah, all right. I work for a company that sells film props and costumes. We do shipping around the world. And so I know a little bit, thing or two, about postage. This box is easily a 20 by 20 by 20 and had 3 stamps on it from Russia. No chance that is getting there from Russia to here.
Need I remind you, this is 93, Dan.
So what? It costs, how much was a stamp in 93? 25 cents?
Somewhere in that neighborhood, maybe even less.
Maybe even less? So 75 cents? To ship that heavy-ass box?
And if it's coming from Russia, we don't know how much they're posted, how much it costs there.
It's crazy.
Well,
I look at the little things. I want you guys to know, and I hope you appreciate it.
And if it's the character's genitals, you can bet, Dan.
Yeah, you can bet on it.
He's the eagle eye.
I'm on it, and I'm also on postage.
So they get a few gifts from Katya, and they're going through everything, and Matt asks, what do you think Santa will bring you? And little Nikki says, I already got my wish. I got to spend Christmas with you. You're my best friend.
Did Nikki have any friends before?
I don't know. And how long has she been in Matt's life?
I don't know.
Like, this timeline is so hard. Maybe like 3 months?
Matt has climbed the friend ranks quicker than Sydney has climbed the prostitute ranks.
Ugh, is this where they read the...
Yeah, it's like, and Katya? There's a letter from Mommy.
Yeah, and what does it say?
It's basically like, here's some presents, bye.
Nikki, I miss you every day. I cannot be home for Christmas. I don't know why she turned Indian really quickly.
She's like, Nikki, I'm moving on Russia freely because you're not here.
I don't know. Yeah,
I don't know.
Okay, so...
Next scene, Jake and Billy, Christmas tree shopping, together, again. Billy, how can you be friends with Jake right now? How can you?
This is so messed up.
How can you look at him in the face after Billy does not care. Amanda?
He does not care. And coincidentally, Joe and Allison are shopping for Christmas tree as well.
They've taken a little page out of season one, and they're doing this like, side-by-side.
Parallel conversation.
Parallel combo, yeah.
Everything's happening at the same. And they both come across, both couples come across a tree that they really like. And guess what, guys? It's the same tree.
It's the same tree.
Billy and Jake are on one side. Joe and Allison are on the other. And they're kind of like tug-of-warring with this tree.
They both agree to buy the same tree.
So they make a compromise. They decide... They leave the tree there, and let's put their money together to get the biggest tree they have at the lot.
And how does this big tree solution, how is it a solution? Just period. You both wanted trees for your apartments, so you've agreed to get one tree that will be outside and in neither of your apartments.
And think about it, too. They're getting their tree, like, I think this is December 23rd, because the Christmas party is either the next day or it's Christmas Eve. So they've waited really late to get their tree. But there were so many trees to choose from.
Yeah, that doesn't happen.
Their tree inventory is like really high.
Yeah.
At this Christmas tree lot.
I went to the grocery store today and there was already the shitty trees.
Yeah.
These trees are terrible.
So, I don't know. Maybe like, you know... They're probably just saying, well, we got to get a tree out of tradition's sake. But they're going to take that tree down in a week.
Yeah.
So I get it. I'd go for the big tree anyways, too. I mean, you waited this long to get your stupid tree.
Yeah. So we're heading over to Sydney turning another trick. She's in the hotel room with another gross guy who's just, like, drinking. And she's sitting on the floor, and she's like, Sam, How do you want to start?
And she's a pro.
Like, she is a pro.
I took, like, she's, like, dressed, like, for the part. She's on her knees already. She's, like, ready to go.
And the guy's just like, well, you know, now that you're here, I thought maybe we just talk.
And she's just, like, without blinking, is just like, price is the same. Do whatever you want to me in this. You want to talk? Fine. I don't care.
So he, like, starts the conversation, says, like, two things, and that sends Sydney off into this whole, like, self-reflection monologue about how she's going to be somebody. And, great acting from Laura Layton here, and she's talking about, she's basically, you know, saying, like, Jane's life story.
I go to college. I'm going to be a designer. I have this right on instinct of what people want, and I just need the training. I have all of these opportunities, you know? It's really great to see your whole life ahead of you. I'm going to be really important someday. I am. I really, really am.
Boom. Real tears, too.
But let me tell you, it's one single tear. Yeah. One single tear, and that's like the exact moment that the guy's like, okay, well, now that I know that you have a real person and you have hopes and dreams, I'm ready to bang.
Yeah, and then he's like done talking. He just starts kissing on her forehead.
And she's like repulsed.
Yeah, and this, you know, this scene, you really feel for Sydney that, like, oh, man.
Yeah, it was hard to watch.
Yeah, it was, she made me feel emotions.
But like you said, Laura Layton, great job.
Yeah. She's going to be somebody. And what? The guy just wanted to see her cry, and then he got a boner and was like, all right, I'm done.
I don't know, but that was like, ugh, yuck.
It's weird. So we cut away there. Sid's gone to work. And Michael is having these sort of revelations with Nurse Colleen that he sucks.
So Nurse Colleen is like, Michael, you're scared to death and you're lashing out at everyone around you. You think you're the first person who's handicapped? Well, guess what? You're not. And Michael just looks at her, go to hell. He immediately sees the error of his ways and he's like, I'm sorry for saying that. I don't know. I mean, maybe I'll never work again. Maybe I'll never practice medicine. I really messed up this time. I don't think about others. And then they notice that all of the friends are bringing back the big old tree that they bought at the lot and they're setting it up. And Colleen indicates to them out the window and is like, Michael, why don't you just go outside and be with your friends? And Michael's like, they're not my friends. I burned a lot of bridges, lost them a long time ago.
Burned them all. You know who Nurse Colleen reminds me of?
Who?
She's like the mother of the little fat kid in Bad Santa.
The grandma?
No, the blonde hair guy. You know the little fat kid?
Yeah, doesn't he live with
his like, grandma? He's like, hey, Santa.
He lives with his grandma.
Right, I'm saying he could be
her son. Like, we never met his mom, but if we did, it would be Nurse Colleen.
Yeah, that's his mom.
They do have a very familiar, like a very family look.
Santa!
That's such a sad movie.
And she shows up on Christmas Eve. Sort of makes sense.
You know what? This is the prequel to Bad Santa.
It is.
This is it.
This is it.
Under the Mistletoe, Season 2, Episode 15 of Melrose Place.
Look at what you learn listening to Melrose Pod. Oh, gosh. Pod.
Wow, Dan. That was incredible.
Mm-hmm. So now the scene sort of goes outside to them setting up the tree. And Joe and Jake are going to go to the basement and get lights.
Ooh, and they're getting cozy.
Yeah, but nothing is made of this for the rest of the episode. All he says is, let's go get our lights. Where are they?
Okay, because I don't think really anything happened in the laundry room. They were just saying, hey, we had 3 boxes of Christmas lights from when we were together. Let's go get them. We can use it in decoration of this tree. And I think it's just to show, okay, they're coming around. They're talking to one another again. They're working together. I don't think anything went down with them. But that then gives Billy and Allison the opportunity to have this little private convo.
Right. Where Billy reveals that he's going to go home for Christmas.
And Allison's disappointed because I think she, seeing him at the tree lot, kind of like, I don't know, maybe like in her brain, she was thinking, oh, this could be my time. This could be my second chance with him if I can just get him to... Mm-hmm. Give in to the holiday spirit and we can spend Christmas together.
Was it, remember last Christmas? They've had bad Christmases.
What happened last time? Tell me. I forget.
Billy was gonna be Santa at the mall, but she had surgery. Oh. And then they didn't get each other Christmas gifts.
That's right.
Yeah.
She had cancer, kind of, right? Did she have cancer or something?
She had in her uterus.
Yeah,
she had like a cyst. She had a tumor on her uterus or something.
Wow.
And Billy like quit being Santa and like helped her for all of Christmas.
And isn't that when Matt made Christmas dinner and Kimberly came over for like the first time?
Yeah. And now she's dead for next Christmas.
The difference a year can make.
It's nuts. Whoa. But they have had shitty Christmases because they didn't get each other gifts.
Oh, it's not about gifts, Dan. So she's disappointed to hear this news that he's trying to go to Denver to see his mom and his sister. So, you know, Allison's like, well, have a good trip and Merry Christmas and all that and tell your mom I said hi.
Yep. Now we cut to another heavy scene. Sydney, she's like walking home.
No, Dan, she's in a car. She's driving. And then, to me, it looks like she just stops her car, like, in the road. She doesn't pull over. She's, like, 4 feet away from the curb. And at first, I thought that she ran out of gas because it was that, like, there was no kind of care to be like, oh, I'm parking. She was just like in the middle of the road. And then we see this big old Catholic church and it's like the church is calling her.
Yeah.
So maybe she just sees the church and
she
is
found
like,
Jesus.
I have to stop. I don't care about actually parking and pulling over.
She got the spirit. So she goes into church. She's walking in. She's walking down the aisle and she jumps into a confession booth and she admits to the father that she's a prostitute. And it's funny, like the only funny part in this is that she goes in, she's like, I'm a prostitute. I have sex for money. And it's like, yeah, we get it.
We know what a prostitute is.
Totally get it. All you have to say is prostitute. Thanks. And, but yes, yeah, she's so ashamed. She's crying again and she's really giving it to us out here. And I feel so bad for her.
Yeah.
She's nobody.
Yeah. So next up, we are with Billy at LAX, and he is desperately trying to get a flight to Denver.
Yeah, and this is not how airports work.
Well, again, this is a sign of the times, and, you know, our first really weird scene with Billy with Deck the Halls. Cue an even cheesier version of Deck the Halls. I don't know if this existed, but he's running from gate to gate, going up to a gate saying, oh, do you have any more seats left for Denver? Nope, we're all sold out. You're going to have to go to Terminal 4, Gate A25. So then he's running and we're hearing, Deck the Halls. And he goes to the next one. Oh, I'm looking for a seat to Denver. Sorry, all sold out, buddy. You got to go to Terminal 9. And he's,
yo, you cannot just go to an airport and go gate to gate. You got to go through security. To go through security, you need a boarding pass. Sorry, Charlie.
Dan. Back in 93, this is pre-9/11.
Really? You could still, pre-9/11, just waltz to gates?
Yes, airports operated more like bus stations do.
That's so strange.
Well, because in our adult lives, this was never the case.
Yeah.
I mean, I think you still had to go through some form of security, but nothing to the extent that you do now.
But while you're in there, you can just buy tickets at gates.
Do you remember when you could have people that weren't flying on the flight with you go to meet you at the gate, go to say goodbye at the gate? Nowadays, if you don't have a boarding pass, you cannot get past security.
Yeah, you say bye at security.
No, honey.
That's what you do now.
Yeah, that's now. But even I remember being, in the late 90s when my parents had split up and I was going from state to state to visit them, they would take me to the gate and they would meet me at the gate. Hmm. And that was like cool.
Interesting. Yeah, I remember my cousin, when my cousin was adopted, he came over on an airplane. And we were all just chilling at the gate.
Because it wasn't like it. I correct me if I'm wrong, listeners. Like I wasn't, 93. I was 8 years old, so I wasn't like a proficient flyer at this time.
Yeah.
But I'm pretty sure that it was more like a bus terminal where you can just go and be like, oh, or train terminal.
Where's this one headed?
Yeah, it wasn't a big deal.
Sure, I'll go to Memphis.
So, yeah, we find that Billy can't get a flight to Denver after all. And, well, actually, we don't learn that here. So, sorry.
No. Yeah, so he's just running around the airport, and it cuts away. And Melrose Place is decorated to the nines.
I love it!
Like, every lights are up everywhere. I bet that Amanda, made Matt put up all the lights.
Yeah. Poor Matt always has to do, the bitch work.
Always does. So, Michael, he is all dressed up, and he's like, Colleen, I'm going to Robert's. And she's like, what is your deal, bro?
So, apparently Robert is having this big Christmas Eve party.
And how can Michael get dressed?
By himself.
Yeah. How do you...
Previous episode, he could not even move his arms.
He can't even get a piece of fruit.
Well, he managed. He's making strides, Dan. So he's ready to go. He says, you're taking me to Robert's place where Jane is staying. I need to talk to them. Colleen's like, I'm not going to do that. And he's like, well, call a taxi. I'm going. So Michael does call. He says, I'm in a wheelchair. You got a problem with that? And then
how does he get the address to Robert's?
I don't know. Maybe Jane got a formal invitation. Mm. And it was on the fridge.
Yeah, maybe.
Because it's a party.
Yeah. So Michael wants to go to Robert's. He calls the cab, gets to Robert's. We cut over to Robert's. And Robert, I'm saying Robert a lot. Robert is saying the worst toast I have ever heard in front of an audience.
But first, to the only woman to come into my life and to change it so significantly, so wonderfully. Thank you, Jane. And that was the toast that he made to his party.
His entire party is basically a proclamation to how
Dan
cool Jane
hated
is.
This.
It was terrible. Yeah, if I was at this party, I would leave after that.
Dan, it was sweet.
Terrible toast. Guys, if you invite me anywhere and the toast sucks, I'm gone.
So then this dude comes up to Robert and gets really close to his face. And it's like, Robert, I need to see you in the other room.
And also... coincidentally, you do that to me at a party, face punch.
So Robert is whisked away by this other dude. And then Jane goes out onto the balcony to get some air. And she notices that down on the road below, a taxi pulls up. And there's old Michael getting out with his wheelchair.
And she's like, God damn it, what the fuck did I pay Nurse Colleen for?
I know, that's gotta be...
She's not getting paid because this is exactly what I didn't want happening. And it is happening. Son of a bitch.
And so Jane is so upset. She runs past Robert through the party so she can go out to the street. Robert follows and Jane's like, Michael, what are you doing here? You have to leave. And Michael's like, I had to apologize. I came to say I'm sorry. And then Robert's like, oh, great. This smart ass just steps in to ruin everything. And then Michael says, I think you mean wheels in.
Kill him. Michael's whole gag here is kill him with kindness.
Yeah, so he goes on to say, I never meant to be a burden to you. I'm sorry, Jane, and I'm sorry, Robert. I never want to come between you. And he's literally there saying that he is apologizing because it's Christmas and it's made him realize his wrongdoings, kind of like what Scrooge or something, when he's got to be like, it's Christmas and I'm going to make everything right with everybody.
Yeah, he's been visited by ghosts of Christmas past.
So Robert's like, okay, well, fine. Thanks so much for stopping by, Michael, but bye-bye.
Yeah, we got out of here. We got a party to go to. And of course, Jane is such a sucker. She's like, Robert, I can't just leave him there.
And Robert's like, yes, you can. What's wrong with you? And she's like, oh, no, he's got to get home because the taxi's already driven off it by this point.
Oh, yeah. Remember when he got out of the taxi? He was like, oh, jeez, I didn't tell him to wait.
It's like, guys, you could call another taxi.
The differences here is like, you know, Robert is the good guy, and he looks like such a bad guy here because he's being so cold to Michael, and rightfully so. And rightfully so, but it's playing right into Michael's plan to get Jane home.
So Jane is like, look, I've got to go, okay, Robert? I'm sorry, I'll call you later. And Robert's like, don't bother.
Robert is all of us at this moment.
Thank God.
Yeah, get the fuck out of here, Jane. Don't call me. Don't do anything. Go back with your husband, your ex-husband that you live with. Weird. Yeah, get me out of this situation ASAP. So, we are at Nikki's planned Melrose Place Christmas party.
The only thing she ever wanted for Christmas.
Right, was to party with 725 20-somethings
that are just going to get like crazy drunk on eggnog.
Yeah. So they're all hanging out outside. There's a table. It's going down. It's happy. And Billy shows up as Santa. And he's like, ho, 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 everybody. I'm Santa.
The worst Santa that ever was created.
He is a terrible Santa. And, of course, Nikki's like, hi, Billy. Thanks for coming.
Yeah, she sees right through this facade.
And he's like, what do you mean, little girl? Here, reach into my duffel bag.
And he got gifts for everybody at the airport at the gift shop. But one person didn't get a gift.
Womp, womp.
And that's Allison, because she's been naughty.
Yeah, she gets cold.
So Billy's like, sorry, I didn't get you anything. And she's like, that's okay. I've got what I really wanted for Christmas anyways.
Allison is all up Billy's ass right now.
God, I hate it.
It makes me sick just thinking that they could get back together.
So at that very moment, Sydney comes in.
Yeah, Sydney's back from church. She's walking very quickly past the party, not saying anything to anybody.
And we should also mention that Jane and Michael are there, too. So they've made it back from Robert's party, and they've joined into the festivities at Nikki's party at Melrose Place.
Yeah. Jane calls out Sid. She's like, hey, why aren't you coming to the party? And again, Laura Layton steals this episode.
That's okay. You know me. Parties. I'm a disaster. I'm all partied out, okay? So Merry Christmas.
And she,
I really mean that.
She is just torn apart in this episode.
And Jane's concerned, but she doesn't run after her, and she lets Sydney go on up to her apartment.
Yeah.
Her own tears.
Let her cry it out. God, Sid, you know, you're the number one prostitute. Get some goddamn furniture in your place.
Yeah.
Seriously. Nothing. Set that thing up. Start nesting. At least.
So Matt's phone rings and everyone can hear it from the courtyard. And he runs in, answers it, and it's Katya.
Hello, Matt.
And she has some big news.
Yeah, she wants to take Nikki on the next flight out of town.
So she's staying in Russia. She will not be returning to the States. And she's booked a flight for Nikki the following day, Christmas Day.
And again, Jenny, congratulations. Your prediction again was right. That was the last time.
Thank you.
That was the last time we'll see Katya.
They really make sure to doll up who's ever leaving, like make them look real good in the last scene.
Yeah.
Katya had a good send-off. It's Christmas morning, and Allison wakes up to hearing some strange noises coming from her living room.
It's Billy stuffing what appears to just be socks.
I don't know. He's shoving some weird stuff into a stocking.
It's not, and it's like not stockings. It's like tube socks. It's like, Billy, did you just get these out of like a crusty gym bag? You nasty.
And so Allison is pleasantly surprised to see him. And she's like, Billy, what are you doing here? I mean, I this is weird. And I don't have anything for you. And he's like, well, I decided like I should have given you a present last night. So I have something for you now. And she's like, I feel like such an idiot, Billy. Billy, it was always you. You have to know that. And you know what? I've always wanted to kiss Santa Claus. Which... ew!
That's disgusting.
You really wanted to kiss Santa Claus?
That's daddy issues.
Yuck. Have you seen Santa Claus?
Jolly old Saint Nick.
Nice guy, but don't want to make out with him.
Well, he's got a kiss better than Billy.
Ugh, yeah. So they... so we are seeing that they're reconciling here. They go in for a kiss, and Billy's like, boy, am I glad I didn't get on that plane. How is this happening?
Billy playing both sides. It's really disgusting when you think about it.
Billy's horrible.
It's like, dude, Billy, you know what you did with Amanda like the day before, and you're back in this game with Allison.
I mean, this is a really good case for Bitch of the Week.
It really is. Like, I'm rethinking my shit.
I know.
It's crazy.
He sucks.
Yeah, two-timing son of a bitch. So, it's Christmas Day. We're at Jane and Michael's. I can't believe I'm saying that. We're at Jane and Michael's place. And Michael's like, I couldn't help it. I had to get you a gift. So he gives her a gift. She's like, Michael, you didn't have to do that. She opens it, and it's these, like, red earrings.
Yeah, they're nice earrings. And she's like, gosh, you've always had such great taste in jewelry. Thank you so much. And of course, I could not get you a gift either. So she gives him a present as well.
Yeah, and it's a Cosby sweater.
Yeah, we saw like a second of that. It's disgusting. Like, okay.
And they're having a moment, and Michael is sort of, you know, reveling in victory that, like, yes, I have my Christmas with Jane. This is going great. It's fantastic. And Robert shows up.
And Robert is oddly apologetic for his behavior the following night.
Robert, you confuse me.
What is up with that?
He's a bitch too.
He's a little pushover because it's like, stand your ground, man. Like,
he says one thing and then he rewards Jane for the same behavior he was
so
like.
So weird.
So he's just like, Jane, I'm sorry, I overreacted. Here's this $1 million fucking necklace.
Yeah, he gives her this necklace that is like a just a tiered, like a diamond, like a 6-carat diamond.
Like you could only wear that to the wedding of a prince.
Yeah, honestly. And she is flabbergasted and is like, oh, Robert, I don't know what to say.
Robert, did you get this from Steve at Microcom? So, all these girls getting badass gifts.
Yeah, take a note from old Steve and old Robert, Daniel.
What you need? You want a Jeep?
I'm more the jewelry kind of gal.
You want the Jeep or the jewels?
I'm the more jewels kind of a gal.
I'm gonna pull a Billy and get you a tube sock.
No!
Stuffed with rocks.
Okay, so that's weird.
Or I'm gonna hit you up with the Nikki and get you an ornament.
Just throw me a big ass party. You know I'd like that more than anything.
Okay.
So we then cut over to Sydney's place. And this is what we're talking about. Her apartment still looks terrible. Remember she had those couches delivered and she was going to do the Southwestern theme?
Yeah, where are they?
Where are they? She's like sleeping in a fireplace. It's very weird.
Get a box spring.
And there's a knock on the door, and it's Lauren, and she's delivering a gift to Sydney.
And it, what was there, a joke that, like, it was all, like STD product care products?
She got, yeah, she got the gift from, like, a clinic or something. Or all the proceeds for the gift goes toward a clinic.
I thought there was, like, tampons and, like...
pregnancy tests.
Yeah, like, douches. Here you go, whore. Here's an AIDS test and a couple morning afters. That's what I thought it was. Is that not right?
Oh, man. I don't think that was right. No. Oh, okay.
That's some deodorant. Some pantyhose.
So, Sydney grabs a wad of cash and she gives it to Lauren and she says, "This is for last night. I'm giving you all of it because I'm out. I'm quitting.
I'm out the game." I thought Lauren was going to strangle her.
I know. And without a beat, Lauren is like, "No further explanation needed. Good luck, Sid. And remember, you can always call. Bye."
Oh, and by the way, here, take all that money.
Oh, yeah. And then she was like, "You earned all the money. Everything you charged on my credit card, you earned that too. So we're all good here."
See, that's what makes me think, like, she coming back.
Yeah, this was very weird and out of character. Remember when Lauren was, like, up in her face at the restaurant?
And like,
she was like,
"I will crush
don't
you.
Don't mess with my money." She's the number one girl.
Yeah, that's a lot of money. A lot of money going out
there. Weird.
I'd at least take your sex basket back.
So next up, Nikki's getting on a plane.
You know how much this Vagisil costs?
Oh my god! Damn.
Give me that basket back.
Okay, next scene. Nikki's getting on a plane back to Russia, and you'll notice, Dan, Matt's at the gate.
Matt is at the gate.
Yeah,
Matt is at the gate. This is a very. I was sad. There were a couple parts of this episode where I was like, I was emotional. And Matt's like, "All right, Nikki, no tears. Remember, we promised." So she walks away. She's like, "Goodbye, Matt."
She's holding the hand of a flight attendant. They start walking on the gangway.
She's going to Russia with nothing.
Then we can assume that maybe
she checked
some bags.
You sure?
I mean, I'm not sure of anything, especially in Melrose Place.
Yeah, he's just like, "Here you go."
She's got a teddy bear, I think.
Yeah.
She's walking on. But then before she turns the corner, we have the look back. And then she breaks away from the flight attendant and runs dramatically into Matt's arms.
Aww.
Where she says, "I love you, Matt. I'll never forget you."
And Matt starts crying. And it's this little moment at the gate like, oh, they were buds.
Both? Laura Layton and Doug Savant had very emotional scenes.
Mm-hmm.
And they're married.
Yeah. Maybe.
Maybe this was the ep that brought them together. They're maybe. Like, "We both have to cry in this episode.
Let's do it." What you got in that gift basket?
Let's go try some of these products out.
Yeah.
So the final scene of the episode, guys, we're back to the Melrose Place courtyard. And Billy and Allison are emerging from Allison's apartment. Now I guess that Billy's probably going to move back.
Yep.
And they're walking out, but Billy is like, "Oh, Allison, look up. Look what I left here." Up.
It looks like poison ivy.
It's mistletoe. And I'm just kind of like, okay, when did Billy have the wherewithal to be like, "I'm going to hang mistletoe here in the event that Allison and I reconcile and then walk under here"? Or did you do it for Amanda, or did he not hang it up and he just lied? I don't know.
He's just like, shot in the dark. If I'm walking with one of these chicks,
I'm going to say I hung it for them. Really weird though. I was kind of like, he didn't plan this.
Yeah.
So
they'd have a big old smooch under that mistletoe.
But who comes down from their apartment?
Amanda.
Queen bitch. And she just looks on like,
son of a bitch got me.
Oh, she ain't happy.
She's like, it is motherfucking on.
Cannot wait to see what Amanda does about this.
Roll them credits.
So, recap, what's happening?
Sid's out the game.
Billy and Allison reconcile.
The gang has an Xmas party for little Nikki.
Joe and Jake are getting friendly.
Matt's off the hook. Wife and kid out to Mother Russia.
And Michael is interfering with Jane's relationship.
And Jane gets a badass necklace.
Yeah, good stuff.
And Sid's the first character in Melrose Place history to go to church.
Okay.
90s moments, my friend. What you got?
Trying to get plane tickets for a week to go to Denver.
Yeah, flights booked solid.
This what is something that I don't think that we see quite a bit. I mean, especially if you're trying to get travel, you know, a week or more in advance.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Maybe this was a thing back in the 90s. But today, I've never run into a situation where I couldn't get a flight somewhere.
Yeah.
Having to pay a lot for it, that's one thing.
Yeah, you can always get a flight somewhere. I got one physically Christmas shopping. Like walking up and down a street buying gifts.
That is how I do my shopping.
That's very 90s.
I love it. I'm a very tangible shopper. I need to touch it. I need to smell it. I need to put it in my mouth and bite it a little bit.
I'm like, is this shit prime?
Click
yep.
it.
Yep, buy that. Get that in my possession immediately.
Calling an operator to get in touch with Russia.
Please call Russia.
And then the craziness of saying, oh, because there's a strike happening, you can't talk to anybody.
Yeah.
Weird.
I've got Matt saying he was going to rent a video with Nikki.
Running from gate to gate to check the vacancy on planes.
Yeah, that doesn't fucking happen.
Not happening.
Is that all you got?
Calling for a cab.
Yeah.
Nowadays, you just, you know, hit your Uber or Lyft app. That's it. I cannot remember the last time. I think actually we were at Halloween at Kat's house before she got married, probably 6 or 7 years ago, that we actually called a cab or tried to. And then we actually walked to the Halloween parade in West Hollywood.
Yeah.
Because there was no cabs to be had.
Oh, yeah. That sucked.
And the last thing I have is calling a flight attendant a stewardess.
Excuse me, stewardess?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd just say, excuse me. I wouldn't address them by any sort
of
no,
name. He was like, oh, the stewardess will help you.
Yeah.
So, what's your lesson, Dan? What did you learn?
My lesson here is deep down, the spirit of Christmas lives in everyone at Melrose Place except Amanda.
Hmm.
Everyone else sort of has some good in them in this episode, or tries to do good, except Amanda. She has nothing positive to offer anybody in this episode.
Yeah. Mine is kind of within that vein. All is forgiven at Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
No matter what your transgressions have been, it's like no one cares anymore.
Yeah, they use the Christmas episodes to sort of reset.
Yeah, it is like a reset. Like, okay, let's pretend all this shit didn't happen and we're all good now. Like,
yeah,
Sydney and Jane, they don't have beef. Oh, Jane's really concerned. And, I mean, Michael's living with Sydney now and Michael's living with Jane now and they'll just go home together. And Robert's like, who cares?
Yeah, it's a reset. Like, Sid's not a hooker anymore. Allison and Billy together.
Yeah, and Billy's like, oh, I forgive you out of nowhere.
Yeah.
He was pretty much sticking to his guns the day before. And now he's like, well, I'm glad I didn't get on that flight, Allison. What?
Joe and Allison, friends again.
Yeah, weird.
Yeah.
It's a reset.
It is a reset. Now, time for our favoritest segment ever. Bitch of the week!
I'm a boss ass bitch, 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 bitch. I'm a boss ass bitch, bitch, bitch.
Last week, I said that Amanda was the bitch because of how she treated Jake. You said Jake was the bitch because of how he treated Amanda.
I cannot wait to see who sides with who.
With 17% of the vote, Jenny, you lose.
Shut up.
Amanda's the bitch.
Oh, God.
83%. That's a landslide victory.
Well, congratulations, Daniel.
You don't mess with Jake.
All right, well, who's your nomination?
This week, my bitch is Jane. Jane is a bitch because one, all right, it's like whatever day it is, December 23rd or Christmas Eve, whatever, you spring this fucking linebacker of a nurse on Michael and you're just like, I'm going to Christmas, bye. Bye, motherfucker. This girl's going to freaking give you showers, baths when you don't want them, and then psychoanalyze you the next. And then just for the constant back and forth with Robert, like, what are you doing, man? Like, stop hanging out with your husband. If you're with Robert, be with Robert, but don't leave his party because your ex-husband shows up in a wheelchair. That's being very bitchy. And then your sister comes Christmas Eve back to her apartment, and she is in fucking tears, and you don't even like go upstairs with her after. I mean, they've made up. It's like, just go up there, follow her up there and be like, hey, are you okay? You know, poor Sid. She needs a hug. And not sex after. I'm sure she's had plenty of hugs. She just needs a hug. Jane, you're being a bitch.
Okay. Good arguments there. However, I'm going to go with Allison Parker as the bitch of the week.
Not Billy. Didn't sway you.
Well, Billy, I really was like there with Billy after everything we talked about. But we really got to talk about Allison here.
Mm-hmm.
Allison, get it through your head. You can't be playing all the sides. You can't be going off with Keith and then going off with Steve and then having Billy on the back burner through all of this so you can figure out what your heart really wants. It's selfish. It's bitchy. And I don't like it. And the fact that she was calling Billy's house incessantly 5 times in one day.
That's excessive.
That is, ugh.
That's Keith level stalking.
Yeah, and then being like, come to my office party. And then he comes to the party and he's like, I'm done. No, I'm not. Like, we're not getting back together. Stop. Yet she still continues to hold out hope and be like, I think we should get back together. And it's like, you are a jerk and you can't have Billy again. It's over. You've totally betrayed his trust. And I just think it's such a bitchy move that she just continues to try to get him and be like, I need to go shopping. I need a day off of work. Who says yes to that? Only a bitch would ask that. I mean, can't you just make up that you're sick like everybody else? You come down with bronchitis or something? I don't know. Allison is really rubbing me the wrong way lately. I look at her. I just see maybe it's the hair mitt. Maybe it's just that, maybe it's the wedgie jeans. I'm just done with her. Bitch. Oh, Billy, it's always been you. But first it was Keith, and then it was you. But then it was Steve. But then it was you again for a little bit. But then it was really Steve. But no, I really figured out it's you. That's messed up. You're leading this guy on. Stop it. You're a bitch.
Nice. I don't know who's going to win that one because they were both bitches.
But you tell us, guys. We're going to have...
Yeah.
Voting will be available on Twitter and on Facebook. So if you want to weigh in, please feel free to do so.
Get in there. Get in our Facebook group. This episode was called Under the Mistletoe?
It was.
We always rename these episodes. Jenny, what do you got for us?
I'm going to rename this one Yuletide Amnesia. For all of the reasons that we've previously discussed.
The reset.
It's the reset.
Yuletide amnesia. I like it. I'm naming this one because due to the fact that these were the most compelling scenes with the best acting, I'm just getting away all the old other storylines, and I'm calling this one Confessions of a Redheaded Prostitute.
Good one.
Thanks.
So, what do we think for future episodes?
Okay, real quick, Sid gets back into hooking. I think Jane and Michael get back together now. I'm finally on board with that. I think Amanda and Allison, we've already seen them fight over Billy so much. I think they team up to destroy Billy.
Ooh, that's a good prediction. I hope that one comes true.
Yeah, because, I mean, seriously, can they go back to working? It's just being D&D all over again. Like, hi, Billy. Hi. Hey, Billy. Hi. You know?
Yeah.
And I think Jake and Joe had sex in that closet down in the basement, and they're going to get back together
too. Oh, I like these. I'm going to go a different direction, though. I think Michael moves out. He's been in there for weeks, weeks. And I could have thought that maybe, you know, they would be getting back together. But then since Robert showed up with this, like, blingy-ass necklace, and it seems like him and Jane are cool again, I kind of feel like that this is the last straw. And Jane's like, look, you got to go. Like, goodbye. I think that Billy and Allison aren't going to last long. I think that Amanda is going to try to use their little fling to hurt Jake and to hurt Billy and Amanda. Billy. Yeah. Billy and Allison. So I think that that Joe and Jake are getting comfy, and I think that they're definitely gonna hook up. And I think that there's something that is still like going to happen with Lauren. I think that Lauren is gonna threaten Sydney or like coerce her into going back into the prostitution game. And I think that we are never gonna hear the words Katya and Nikki ever again. They're gone forever.
Ever.
Like, they will never be referenced. It will be like they never were there.
And Matt just has no, like,
yeah, it'll reaction. Be like, yeah, it's like Matt's just, like, on to the next.
And then he can go date his boy at the art place.
Does he need to get a divorce?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he's legally married.
Yeah, that's a lot of questions.
But I bet they won't address them. It'll be like, okay, Matt's like back on the scene.
Yeah, it's just whatevs. All right, guys. Well, we made a mistake last episode with two of our listeners, our super fans. I said that Tommy gave us the idea for creating a list of all of the top five like evil things that Michael has done, but really it was Amanda.
Amanda!
My bad. Sorry.
Sorry about that. Amanda came up with that brilliant idea, so we want to make sure that she gets credit where credit is due.
Yes. So thank you, Amanda, for giving us that amazing idea. I don't think Michael did that bad of a thing this episode
to shake
the top five. So
I agree.
We're keeping it where it lies. In our Facebook group, Michael D. made a comment that Allison's season 2 hair is a travesty, and whoever let her continue to rock it for an entire season and then some deserves swift punishment.
Couldn't agree more.
Season 4, I must admit, her hair redeems itself. Good.
We're looking forward to that.
Looking very forward to that. And then I had another comment that I read from Gaspacho that says, I feel as though I posted the video of Amanda and Billy pulling the trash can apart and then having sex.
Sure, yeah.
With the trash sex. And Alyssa said, ugh, this scene makes me nauseous. And then Gaspacho writes, I feel as though sex with Billy always is trash sex. His mouth never closes, so his breath must be terrible from all the dead bugs decaying in that yap. the use of the use of the word yap is amazing.
Oh, gazpacho, I love you.
You the man. And then our musical correspondent, Jill. Jill hooked us up with the music from when Jake is eyeballing Joe in Shooters, and it's
She's hustling the guy for the pool game.
The song we hear is this generic like, "She's got it all, she's got it all," but really, the song is "No Mistakes" by Patti Smith, and I can't re-sing it for you, but it's like hella 90s.
I love it.
Yeah. The lyrics are super relevant to Jake and Joe's situation, which is why they used it. So thanks for that info, Jill. You're awesome.
Yay, thank you.
So, guys, as always, we're on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, at Melrose Pod. If you want to get in contact with us, you can email us, melrosepod@gmail.com. Join our Facebook group. If you go to Facebook and just search for groups, Melrose Place Podcast, you can join it. I'll hook you up. You can get in and you can join the conversation. We're on Patreon, patreon.com/melrosepod. If you want to give us a buck, you can unlock some bonus episodes. We're about to do one on none other than Katya and Nikki.
I don't know.
So look out for that one. If you're already supporting us on Patreon, thank you so much. We appreciate it.
And we love smut.
And we love you.